Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Welcome to Point of View. My name is Pimelo Motine. Thank you so much for being with us. This is Point of View. We're going to be with you until 10 today. Coming up on the show, we are going to be paying tribute to really a thespian, someone who the theatre space owes a lot to, Ethel Fjordgard, who passed away at 92. We're going to just to pay tribute to him a bit later on in the show. And then the IEC had a conference that started today. It will end on Wednesday on digitizing the system. Mawusa has marched on to the mayor of Johannesburg. They're complaining about nepotism at Pick It Up. So we'll have a conversation with them. We'll also talk to MK Party, who also marched to Treasury today. They're complaining about the VAT increases ahead of the budget. We'll talk to them as well. But let's start here. We have the report that was released by the Office of the Health Ombud. This is on the back of that video. Remember that video that went viral, Tom London's video? And so the Ombud went and had a look. CEO of the Office of the Health Standards Compliance, Phiwe Mdaweni, is on the line with us this evening. Dr. Mdaweni, thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening.
Good evening, Ms. Mutene, and good evening to all your listeners.
So we got a press briefing today just to give us an update on what the Ombud had to say. So let's talk a little bit about what did the Ombud find that was untoward.
Okay, so we conducted an independent inspection at the Office of the Health Standards Compliance, and the Health Ombud also conducted an independent investigation. The Office of Health Standards Compliance is a regulator for quality and safety in the provision of services in all our health establishments. So we followed on the lead that was brought forward by the video clip that went viral, released by Mr. Holmes. We then went to Helen Joseph Hospital, and this is part of our regulatory function in monitoring all incidences that would pose a risk, a potential risk to safety, and also in the provision of services. Now, when we arrived there, we found that indeed where he was, among the allegations were the complaints around the overcrowding in the emergency area, accident and emergency, that we commonly call as casualty. And indeed, we discovered that there was overcrowding. We also went to Ward 8, where he was admitted. He had made allegations of the dilapidated infrastructure, hanging electrical cords, broken door handles, and unfavorable ablution facilities, broken toilets, and all of that. And when we arrived, indeed, we confirmed that the allegations were correct. The state of Ward 8 was in disrepair at the time of the inspection. And we were also concerned that when we arrived, there was also an infestation of flies in the ward, which were hovering around the cubicles as well as in the ward, and the ward staff had attempted to deal with this problem in the past, but to no avail. Mm. We even, and amongst the allegations as well, was that generally the infrastructure of the hospital outside, the hospital was not pleasing to the eye, as it is expected from a health establishment. We then looked around and discovered that indeed, there was litter all around the hospital, and there were piles of other waste that was put there. And, there are certain standards that we utilize to be able to verify whether a health establishment is compliant or non-compliant with the norms and standards. And in the main, those were also breached. And we discovered that, the state of the hospital in where Mr. Landon was admitted in Ward 8 really was compromising or went against all the infection prevention and control principles, so that you're not in hospital and end up with another infection. And he also complained that he was sent twice to radiology department to conduct a particular investigation, the CT scan. That allegation we did not find to be true. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was the it was an appropriate management in terms of the treating team sending him there. So that was not found to be the case. Mm. And he also alleged that, you know, corpses were left in the ward for prolonged periods of time. That was not necessarily the case, because what happens is when someone is deceased, the hospital will inform the family members, and often family members will request that would like to come and have a look at our loved ones before they are removed to the mortuary. That allegation was then not found to be true, but there were others, for an example, lifts that were not functioning in some areas of the hospital, and these were lifts which were located in, you know, quite critical service areas, like lifts that would transport patients to the radiology department or transport patients to other specialist rooms and also around the Londo area. Mm. So generally, those were broadly the findings. But what we did with our inspectorate team was to go beyond what was actually put as allegations, so that we can overall find what was the general status of the hospital. As we indicated earlier today, that the hospital has been operating with an interim management team, and the hospital also has had about four acting CEOs since 2018. So the major problem was really around the leadership and the governance of the hospital. If that is not intact, a whole lot of things tend to fall between the cracks.
So I just want to make it clear that for those who are listening, they heard me refer to Mr. Tom London, and you also mentioned Thomas Holmes. It is the same person, for those who are listening. Thomas Holmes and Tom London is one and the same person. Yes.
Tom London, yeah.
So, and another thing, I just want us to be, you know, to assist everyone who's listening, the distinction between your roles as the ombud. You're not the ombud, but you're representing the health standard compliance. My question to you is, when do you do your inspection? So the ombud then would respond to the complaints. When do you, as the Office of the Health Standard Compliance, go and visit institutions to do these inspections?
Okay. So, as I indicated earlier, that we are a regulatory body that would gauge all health establishments. By health establishments here, I mean clinics, hospitals, against a sort of a set of norms and standards. Now, we conduct our routine inspections. We've got two types of inspections. What we call a routine inspection. A routine inspection are those inspections that, on a daily basis, our inspectors go out to provinces, all nine provinces, and also the private sector, and then conduct these inspections so that we can determine compliance with the norms and standards for safety and quality. Then we have what we call risk-based inspection, which is what we conduct at Helen Joseph Hospital. Now, what will trigger a risk-based inspection is if we monitor what we call indicators of risk. An indicator of risk is any activity that would happen in a health institution that would pose potential harm and also would compromise the services that are provided. We pick this up through the media, and some are reported to us. And others would maybe just go to a hospital and determine that we would like to go deeper and conduct a risk-based inspection. Now, here is the distinction. Then we have the Office of the Health Ombud. Functionally, it's located within OHSC, but it is a completely independent. He is an independent person as the Health Ombud. Now, the Health Ombud responds to all complaints that are lodged by the public. You can directly lodge a complaint with them. With the Health Ombud. Of course, we do encourage the public to start at the point where services were delivered, because there are complaints resolution mechanisms at a service delivery level. So that is the main distinction, is that we conduct the inspections, and those are routine, and the Health Ombud responds to complaints that are lodged in his office. Now, in this instance, It is a complaint that was lodged by him, and also as per the request by the Minister of Health. One critical point to make is that the Minister of Health can request either one of the two entities, the Office of Health Standards Compliance or the Health Ombud, to investigate a matter that relates to breaches in the norms and standards for quality and safety. Now, with this one, we picked it up in the media. The Office of the Health Ombud also did, and we decided to jointly conduct this. But when we conduct these inspections, we do it independently. When we went to Helen Joseph, we went without the Health Ombud. The Health Ombud also conducted his own independent investigation. But then, of course, when we looked at our reports and also our findings,
they were similar.
They were aligned. Yes.
Would your routine inspection, which happens on a daily basis, as you say, not have picked up some of the things that came out of this risk-based inspection? In other words, it wouldn't have been a surprise what came out of this report if you have people who do routine inspections, unless if I'm wrong.
It all depends. Okay, with the routine inspections, we are confined to the promulgated norms and standards, which are promulgated by the Minister of Health. So we will then conduct a routine inspection following, as we use what we call inspection tools. They are standard and they are regulated because they're based on the regulation. They will then follow that path. But with a risk-based inspection, we can probably just go and focus on a particular problem area, or we can even expand. So you've got much more room with a risk-based inspection, because you can go, you can target a specific problematic area in a health institution, or you can even go beyond. You are not restricted. But when we conduct a routine inspection, we use a minimum set of standards. So a risk-based inspection tends to uncover much more than a routine inspection, because there you will be guided by your tool. Indeed, if there are challenges within those norms and standards that are in your inspection tool, you will pick them up. But let me further explain that our methodology in conducting inspections, we always say we start with observation. When we enter a health establishment, the first thing is to observe from the gate, the security, what is the status there? Is there adequate signage? Can members of the public tell the opening hours of the operating hours of this health institution? Is the signage in a local language for people to understand? Do they get proper guidance when they enter? So you start there and you go inside, and then you use your set of tools to determine compliance. But maybe briefly to say, with a risk-based inspection, you can actually get much more.
So in this instance, for instance, one of the things that you find here in your combined report is that there's an issue with the laundry, right? You mentioned earlier on the fact that, you know, there were flies and so on. My assumption is, in your routine daily inspection, if there is, I don't know, what would be an odd smell that is regularly there that creates flies, you may not necessarily know, because the scope doesn't allow you to dig into what is happening with the management of the laundry, but it would give you a sense that there is something soiled laundry, for instance, that is visibly there on a daily basis that's not being changed, that would indicate that there is a problem. Would that not be the case?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you do have standards for that. That will definitely pick up. It's not even a matter of we will suspect. Through our inspection tools, we will definitely pick up that there are challenges with the laundry. Because and remember, we also conduct staff interviews during routine inspections. So that will come up. And as I've indicated, that other than the set of tools that we use, there's a lot of observations and interaction with staff. So challenges with the laundry, for example, in this case, those would have also been picked up by a routine inspection.
And so what then happens to those reports that come in daily?
So when those so this is that process. When we arrive, we will obviously brief the staff, explain exactly what we're going to do, and we also do conduct what we call exit interviews after we've conducted an inspection. Then we go back, we synthesize and analyze the information based on the tools, and we use a particular grading system that indicates the compliance rate of a health institution. We will share that report with the institution, and we'll give them an opportunity. You know, we do use the principles of fair reporting. They will look at their report, but we are not going to necessarily change the scores, but they will look at what we're going to say. They share the report, but the most important thing is for them to develop what we call a quality improvement plan. Based on our inspection report, you need to develop a quality improvement plan if you are found to be non-compliant. So there are two outcomes of a routine inspection. One is that we will find you to be compliant as a health establishment. When you are compliant, we'll then give you what we call a compliance certificate, meaning that you have adhered or complied with a set of norms and standards. Let me emphasize that giving you a compliance certificate does not necessarily mean that everything is fine. It says you have complied with this minimum set. Now, if you are found to be non-compliant as per our grading system, we give you what we call a notice of compliance. Now, a notice of compliance, it does compel you to develop a quality improvement plan. We want so that you start to remedy those breaches in the norms and standards. We then give you time. When we give you a notice of compliance, we give you time for corrective action. And usually it depends on how non-compliant you were. At a particular point in time, we then go back to those facilities that were non-compliant to re-inspect because you were not compliant during our first routine inspection. We conduct a re-inspection. When we conduct a re-inspection, if you are found to be compliant, well and good, you get a compliance certificate. But if at re-inspection you are found to be still non-compliant, we as the office have enforcement powers, meaning that we now enforce compliance, that we gave you an opportunity to remedy where there were shortfalls in what we have inspected. Because you didn't, we then start writing what we call a warning letter. A warning letter now stipulates even a shorter time frame within which you must comply. We can report you to any relevant authority, being the head of department or the provincial head. So we start going into a different set of actions that would now almost force you to comply with the norms and standards.
So how often do you issue this non-compliance certificate or compliance certificates?
Very often. In any instance where we conduct a routine inspection and you are non-compliant, you invariably get a notice of compliance.
So had the Helen Joseph Hospital received a non-compliance certificate? I mean, notice.
Now, we had not done a routine inspection. We conducted a risk-based inspection. As I have indicated, that this is an issue that we picked up in the media, and then we went in to conduct the risk-based inspection.
I understand that, but I'm asking a different question. I'm saying before the risk-based inspection, which I'm told from your explanation, this comes after a bigger complaint. You said there's also a routine inspection that happens regularly. Now, I'm asking whether for the routine inspections that happens, well, I think daily is what you said, did you ever tell them that they were not compliant, issuing them with a non-compliance notice?
Here is my response. We operate in 9 provinces. We have what we call, at any given point, we know how many inspections we are going to conduct in each province. Mm. We are unable to cover all the health facilities in a province. So it just so happened that we hadn't had a routine inspection conducted in Helen Joseph prior to us going for a risk-based inspection. I don't know whether you're clarified.
Well, when was the last time it was done at Helen Joseph?
At Helen Joseph, right now in January, there was a routine inspection that was conducted. Mm-hmm. It was their time to get to receive a routine inspection. You have to appreciate that we have in excess of 5,000 health establishments in the country. It is, given the staff complement that we have, it is not possible to conduct a routine inspection in each and every facility. It's all dependent on the number of facilities that we are going to conduct this year in Gauteng province or in Limpopo and wherever. So it is not feasible that at any given point you'd have conducted all your routine inspections in a province.
Fair enough. That's why I'm asking, when was the last time it was done?
Yeah. In Helen Joseph, it would have been done, I think, probably, if I recall well, 4 years ago, but there is one that was done around January of this year.
So in a year, you hope to get to how many hospitals, or at least...
Oh, no, it depends on our funds. It depends on the funding envelope that we have for that particular year. But we usually conduct between 600 and 700 routine inspections.
So... the four-year gap is normal, in a way.
The four-year gap is normal. It is actually legislated. The National Health Act, which establishes the existence of our office, it says we should inspect a facility at least once in 4 years.
In a way, that would have then given them 4 years then to comply. Have you been able to check what was the last time, what was the report with the last routine check that you guys did?
Now, I think you have to understand that in a health service environment, 4 years is a very long time. Mm. Anything can happen. Mm. A facility can be compliant today, and you go 3 months later, is not compliant for the following reasons. When you go and inspect, it's an activity at a particular point in time. What I find on that particular day is what is going to be recorded based on the tools that we utilize. But anything can happen during that time. So often you find that within that 4 year period, some facilities will move from being compliant and non-compliant. It's for that reason that the quality improvement plan becomes so critical, because you need to have a systematic approach in improving quality and safety. It should not be only a compliance matter, that we just need to comply with the Office of Health Standard Compliance. What's more important to us is what happens when we are not there, when we have not or when we have not been to you. And the only way that you can do that is if you have a quality improvement plan, which should be integrated in all other functions and operations of the hospital.
Let me explain why this point for me is important. You were the last there 4 years ago. You are here now because there has been, as you said, complaints from the media, which you pick up, and then that allows you to do a much deeper analysis of the issue, that risk-based assessment. The point here is that if your last report had given them some sort of a room to improve, as you said, that you maybe give them time, as you said, sometimes time to correct their mistakes, it would have then been necessary to check whether they had actually improved on what was the last report or not, and how you find yourself here 4 years later, unless if that's not checked.
That is not true at all. That would not be appropriate. And I think it would mean that when you've gone to a health establishment to inspect, nothing wrong should happen ever. And that's not how a health system works. It is for that reason I am saying to you, once we've conducted inspection...
I don't think you understand what I'm asking. I'm saying...
You are saying... Mm-hmm. We would not have checked whether the compliance...
I'm saying, based on whatever, whether it was a good report or not, good or bad, the last 4 years. You may have, if it was bad, said to them, you have, as you said, 2 years or 3 years, like this particular advance now is saying 2 years is what's required to remedy some of the issues. Whatever it is that was said to them then, how do you then monitor what they've done?
I think here's what I need to explain. We are a regulator. So when we regulate, mm-hmm. the monitoring, right? The National Department of Health has a quality improvement program. That's where the monitoring happens. We regulate. We come in, we say, you are compliant, you are non-compliant. We cannot be a referee and a player at the same time.
Did you not say you're an enforcer, though? You said that you also enforce.
When there's non-compliance, we enforce.
Correct.
But the monitoring, because imagine a situation where you have 5,000 health establishments. When you regulate, I tell you that this is not happening, this is happening, this is not happening, this is what you need to rectify. Then there are other structures in the health system. The National Department of Health, the provinces, the districts, they come in. They need to monitor those quality improvement plans that they are actually remedying the breaches in the norms and standards.
We hear now you have some recommendations. What are those recommendations?
The recommendations, they are at different levels. They were provided, some of the things were provided to be monitored by the provincial department and others by the health establishment itself. Now, we have said to the provincial department, they need to, the disciplinary cases which were pending, they've been finalized. When we went back in December, they were finalized. We gave them about 60 days to fill the CEO position. We'll be monitoring that. And we also said the province should assist the health establishment to develop a structure that is aligned to the level of service at Helen Joseph as a tertiary hospital. So they need to have an organogram or an organizational structure that is aligned to the gazetting of the hospital, and also finalize the appointment of the governance structure, which is the hospital board, and also payment of the service providers that had not been paid. And the management at Helen Joseph, they need to conduct an assessment of the overcrowding that was found in the extended emergency units. They have to also develop a plan that they will give to us in terms of how they are going to improve in terms of the staff and patient relations, and also looking at the Occupational Health and Safety Committee, which should be functional within 60 days. So there's an array of recommendations that we have provided to them. And we also want them to look at other day-to-day management of the hospital, such as standard operating procedures that they need to look into. And they also have to monitor the healthcare workers that are there so that they are at work at the time that they're supposed to be at work, and also the payment of their contractors. So it's quite a number of recommendations that we have provided to them.
And in this instance, the monitoring body would be the Gauteng Department of Health.
Now, here's another distinction which I must explain. These recommendations, it's a risk-based inspection. We are going to monitor them. We've given them timelines. We will from time to time be checking with them whether those recommendations are being implemented.
So you do monitor at some level?
Then can I explain?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the recommendations of a risk-based inspection, these ones, we're going to follow through. This is not a quality improvement plan. What is being monitored, what I was explaining, is a quality improvement plan, which will look at all the breaches in the norms and standards in a routine inspection that is then monitored by the health establishment, the district, and the province. Now, the Act says, the report that was released by the Health Ombud this afternoon, that one, the recommendations of that report are going to be monitored by us. So all the reports that are released by the Health Ombud, such as this one, those ones we are going to monitor the recommendations, inclusive of the ones that we have given. But a routine inspection quality improvement plan based on the breaches of the norms and standards. The monitoring will then be done by the district, by the health establishment.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. CEO of the Office of the Health Standards Compliance, Dr. Spiwe Mdawene, who, as I said, is of the Office of the Health Standards Compliance. I hope you got that. 086-000-0959. WhatsApp notes on 063-688-0959. Did you understand it fully? I'd love to hear from you.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.